This is a prayer treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute. Website, mbeinstitute.org. Mary Baker Eddy is the discoverer, founder, and leader of Christian Science. This movement was established for the purpose of furthering the science of the healings of Jesus, understanding it, living it, getting ourselves completely out of the way, and letting this healing truth pass through us as an unadulterated image and likeness of the perfection of God. Genesis 1, verse 26 and 27 says this, "And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And also verse 28, which is directly related. "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every creeping thing that moveth upon the earth." We each need to determine what is the intention here. What is the true message? It is said that to understand anything spiritually, we must understand the symbols, for they tell the truth about the underlying source. Evil is the opposite. Evil operates on deceit. Good, spirit, the only substance, operates on truth. Mary Baker Eddy had a student one time that said she was having a vision problem, and what does she suggest in the way of research and study to overcome the problem? Mary Baker Eddy's answer was very straightforward and simple. Can you focus no matter what comes your way? There are three quotes at the beginning of the textbook. The first one is by Jesus. "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The second one by Shakespeare. "There is nothing, either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." And the third one by Mary Baker Eddy. "Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere." What comes to you as the true message from these three quotes? The first one appears to be very straightforward. If we understand the truth, we will be free of being enslaved by anything that is not truth. And the second one, gives us a clue how we can do the first one. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. What are we going to fill our consciousness with when we realize that every single thing that we are exposed to gives us an opportunity to make a decision? What are we going to do with it? Are we going to accept it? Are we going to reject it? Or are we going to be passive? The definition of good on page 587 of the glossary is defined as follows. God, Spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. Does that give us any clue at all that God is passive? Is it possible for there to be evil action if God is in control of all action? In fact, the source of all action. Habakkuk tells us that God is of too pure of eyes than to behold evil. Could God create evil? Could God see evil? Could God sanction evil? Could God even see anything that is unlike itself? Can we see anything that is unlike ourselves? Are we seeing any evil? Jesus said that thinking about something is the same as doing it. Are we doing any evil by just thinking about it? Rawson, Frederick L. Rawson, one of the greatest healers of all time, along with Mary Baker Eddy and a few other very, very top people, said the way to heal is to first of all flat out deny that there is any existence to any problem by making the very simple statement, there is no, and then state whatever the problem appears to be. And then automatically, immediately, switch all thought, speech, and action to focus on perfection. Wentworth Winslow, another very top Christian Science practitioner and healer, provided an article to us in one of his four books that is entitled The Bicycle and the Brick. He said, think about riding a bicycle down a pathway and you come upon a brick right in the pathway. What happens if you focus on the brick? Invariably, you run right into the brick. I can't think of anything good that would happen if one did that. Maybe to learn from it as a wake-up call. The next time we see any kind of a distraction, anything that is an ungodlike factor in our thought, speech, and action. But I believe that the message here is related directly to what Mary Baker Eddy stated in her letter response to the student asking for thoughts that should be researched and pursued regarding vision. One simple statement. Can you focus no matter what comes your way? If a brick comes your way, what are you going to focus on? It was stated earlier in this prayer treatment that Jesus said that thinking about something is the same as doing it. If we think about the brick, Mr. Winslow says, we're going to run right into it. I don't know of anyone that would say, oh, that would be great. That'd be perfect. Let's try it and see how it works out. Is there anything at all in intelligence that would indicate that should be the path? Is there any wisdom, any knowing that says that's the thing to do? Or is it a wake-up call to be alert and make sure that we're going to focus on where we want to go and not on a distraction? One of the factors in healing is to pay heed to what Einstein says. And the quote I'm referring to is the following. One can never solve a problem if they approach it on the same level as where they observed the problem appearing. That gives us a lot of flexibility. We can go higher or we can go lower to find out how to solve the problem. But we can't stay on the same level as where the problem appeared. Move to a higher and get your thought up next to God, thinking about God, or get your thought down to the depravity level and see what kind of an ungodlike thought is in your consciousness that is trying to manifest itself as an accident that's ready to happen. We know, if we're paying any attention to the words in this prayer treatment, thinking about an accident that is about to happen is the opposite of what we should be thinking about, the opposite of what we should be letting into consciousness. Shakespeare makes it very clear. Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Are we going to utilize a strong filter before we let anything at all into our consciousness? If we're not, we're inviting evil to take control of our thought, speech, and action. Following are the words in the short letter entitled The Secret by Mary Baker Eddy. I have learned a great secret. I have learned how to demonstrate. I have learned how to make science a thing of life, not of words. I'm going to tell you what the secret is, and it is wonderful. It is this: not to see or hear or repeat any kind of imperfection. It is seeing and hearing and repeating good only at all times and under all circumstances and in spite of everything that appears to the contrary. I make this resolve every morning when I first open my eyes, and I renew it every hour of the day. I see perfection in myself, in my friends, in my so-called enemy, in my affairs, and in world affairs. I take my radical stand for the perfection of God and everything and for everything and everybody He has created. I look upon the world with God's eyes and see it just as He sees it, and I refuse to see it in any other way. I stop a dozen times a day and renew the resolve and make sure that I am not repeating error or giving way to criticism. I watch my thoughts about people, the lame, the old, the unloved to sense that I pass in the street, stray animals. I accept nothing. That's E-X-C-E-P-T. I have taken my radical stand for perfection, and I will not, absolutely will not, relax this perfect standard. The result has been simply marvelous. Try it, and you will find that you forget your glasses. They will become unnecessary. You will be seeing with God's eyes, His perfect sight, and you will behold a perfect universe, the outward condition of your inward thinking. To change the picture, you must change the sight that produced the picture. Amen. There you have it. The secret to perfect vision. And I might add, that's a secret to perfect everything. Because what we see is a reflection of what's in our thoughts. So we have to start back at the beginning. What is in our thoughts? Following is reading a page and a half letter from Dr. Fluno. He was appointed to the Board of Lectureship by Mary Baker Eddy in the late 1890s. He was one of the few that was given a designation of CSD by Mary Baker Eddy. Criticism by Dr. Francis J. Fluno. Criticism is fault finding. It shuts you out of heaven. It will darken all your skies. It will keep you from demonstrating for yourself and others. It will bar you from progress. It leads you into all trouble. It leads you into all discord, into all unkindness, impatience, hard-heartedness, unfriendliness, and finally, into all evil, hatefulness, and envy. Just as long as that spirit of criticism remains in your thought, and you leave it there, just so long will you not progress. Just so long will you not be able to demonstrate. Just so long will you not be able to find your way in truth, because you will be looking for faults constantly. You are fault-finding on a mortal, material plane. You will criticize everybody and everything. You will criticize people in every way. The clothes they wear, the way they walk, the way they talk, and the way they enunciate, the way they pronounce their words, the way they sing, and everything they do in every possible way. And that is all you will do. If the spirit of criticism is abroad in your heart, it is growing. I do not say that it is there, but if it is, and it is not removed after being detected, it will, of course, remain there and grow. Then, by and by, you will want to know why you do not understand and cannot demonstrate the truth as you would like to. It is because you are finding fault with people, finding fault with what they do and say. You are not looking for truth, and so are not finding truth in what is done. But you are studying faults. Faults are what you are looking for, and they are all you are thinking of. Criticism is the worst thing that you can get into your thoughts. It is one of the keys to perdition, because it leads there. It leads to all unkindness. It leads into ingratitude. It leads into everything but love for your neighbors and friends. Anyone can criticize. I never saw a person so great, an idiot, if he could talk at all, but he could find faults with others. Anyone can do it, and just as soon as you let it enter your thought and leave it there, it will grow until you soon will think you are an elected critic. That is your mission. That is what you are here for. That is the work you are to do. Criticism is an awful thing. It never did any good and never will do any good. It never can, because it is all on a mortal plane. Every bit of it. You are not helping others. You are not helping yourself. It does not belong to Christian Science, for there is nothing Christian about it. There is not anything scientific about it. Not one thing. I have seen it all my life. I have seen it from the earliest childhood, and I know every one of you has. And it is a thing that ought to be well looked into to see whether you have it or not. Because you are a student of Christian Science. You are a student of the science of being. If you are studying that, you will progress in everything you do. Nothing you touch, but you will do well with it, because Christian Science leads to wisdom, love, kindness, and satisfaction. It leads the way to kindness to everyone, to helpfulness for everyone, and will lead you to see opportunities and will open up opportunities to you that you never saw before in everything, in every walk of life, to become better in everything you do. Everything you touch will grow out of plainness before you. Everything is elucidated. Everything is made plain, and everything is made easy. There is no hard roads and no hard work. In fact, you will find no such thing as hard times and no hard work to get along. If you are studying the great facts themselves, the great trouble is to let go of mortal sense and study truth. Study the facts of being. Do you think you have to hold on with one hand to mortal law and its way of living? If you will let go, you will find your living sure, and you will find a better living and an easier life than you ever had before. We lose our sense of worry. We lose the worry of business. We lose the worry of finding business. we lose the thought of our body. You will then lose the thought of losing your life, of losing your health, because you are growing into strength, life, health, freedom, because you are growing into true manhood and womanhood. You are growing to be better scholars of yourself and students of Christian Science. You are not students of the way people walk along the street, finding fault with the way they walk, with the cut of their dress, with the cut of their coat, finding faults with their habits, with their shortcomings, with their little faults and little feelings. You are students of Christian Science. Amen. Imagine, he says, criticism leads to all evil. All evil. Every evil stems from criticism. Why? Because we are all one family. We all have the same Father, Mother, God. And if we are criticizing one of our brethren, which is, you know, male, female, doesn't matter, or child, we're criticizing the source. And there's only one source, and it's God. If we're criticizing God, we're criticizing the only reality that exists. We're not real, we're a reflection. And to the tune that we reflect the real qualities of God, that's the degree to which we are an image and likeness of God. It's our choice. Vladimir Ashkenazy, one of the greatest pianists of all time, he's from Russia, as are many of the top in their field. Because in Russia, they encourage people to develop their talent. And they make it very attractive to do that. Exactly. One time, a very strong critic of pianists was given an opportunity to ask a question to Vladimir in one of his concerts. And in the Q&A, the individual critic said, "I've been following you around from concert to concert, and I've known for my thoroughness." He said, "I never can find any fault with your work. Every piece you play with perfection. And not only that, you have fun doing it because you talk to the audience while you're performing. I've never seen anything like it. How do you do it? How do you perform perfection time after time after time?" Vladimir gave him a very simple answer. He said, "I practice, practice, practice until the music plays me." That is the answer, no matter what skill you are practicing. We must remove ourself from the process. Look to the idea. If it's a piano composition, learn about the author, the composer. Learn everything you can. Try to put yourself in his shoes. We have a video on the website right now, and it's by Elvis Presley. And it's about criticism. And he says, before you criticize, walk 1 mile in his shoes. And then see if you're still going to criticize. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to walk even 10 feet in someone else's shoes when we think they're making a bad mistake? One time I was disappointed in one of my sisters. And I told my mother, I said, why doesn't she get on top of her life? What do you think my mother's response was? I'll give you a clue. She never criticized anyone. She always tried to find the reason they were having a problem and help them. So her answer was to be expected. Except at that point in my life, it's been many years ago, several decades, I wasn't willing to look at the big picture. I didn't think to look at the big picture. I don't even know whether I realized there was a big and a small picture. But she certainly knew. And she answered this way. You have no idea what she's going through. And she's right. I hadn't talked to her in a long time. I didn't know what her problems or challenges were. But my mother talked to her frequently and knew what she was facing, what she was dealing with. And instead of criticizing, my mother gave her support. Not only metaphysically, but also financially. She reached out her hand to give a hand up to my sister. Not that my sister was an enemy, but Mary Baker Eddy wrote an article, Love Your Enemies. And she says, who is thine enemy? Except someone that you have established a negative thought about and are holding it in consciousness. That's exactly my mistake. I'd established a negative thought and I was holding it in consciousness. I was standing ready to criticize. And I had the ability that I could have helped her. But I didn't do it. I didn't even think about it. I just wondered why she didn't do it on her own. Walk 1 mile in the other man's shoes and then look at oneself thoroughly to see if we're going to be playing God. The title to this prayer treatment is God. Vision, looking, and seeing, but what? What are we looking for and what are we seeing? And Shakespeare gives us a clue that we better be careful because nothing is good or bad except what we make it to be. How are we judging it? What are we using as our evaluation tools? Are we using Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, where it states that we are made in the image and likeness of God? Not just you and me, everyone, because we all have the same Father, Mother, God. On 591, Mary Baker Eddy defines man as being the compound idea of infinite spirit. The spiritual image and likeness of God, the full expression of mind. Mind includes around 50 or 60 different terms that Mary Baker Eddy uses in science and health. The founder of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute is Helen and William Wright. Helen was a prolific author, And she authored a book entitled Your Divinity Revealed. That includes chapters 4 through 10, one chapter for each one of the seven synonymous terms for God. The first one is God, the first one is mind, the second one is spirit, the third one is soul. We're talking about soul. How are we going to identify things? Because soul is our senses of seeing, hearing, feeling, smelling, and taste. If we don't get a big yes on every one of those five senses, we should decline to do what we were going to do. And when we realize that spirit is the only substance, that means the only senses must be spiritual senses, not matter-based, based on spirit. Spiritual seeing, spiritual hearing, spiritual feeling, spiritual touch, spiritual smell, and spiritual taste. Does it pass every one of the tests? If it doesn't, then we've got to throw it out. We've got to discard the thought. Not even let it in our consciousness. If we let it in, it's 10 times the effort to get it out. It is 10 times easier to prevent it from getting into our consciousness at the very onset of the suggestion. Like Mr. Winslow says, imagine yourself in a room with a telephone and a radio. The radio is tuned into station KOG, Kingdom of God, and it's spending all day, 24/7, 365, announcing the qualities of God. And the telephone is trying to get our attention by just ringing and ringing and ringing to fill our thought with evil. Evil cannot have a residence in our thought, speech, and action unless we give it to it. We have to open up the door and say, come on in. The weather's fine. When in fact, the moment that we let evil get into our thought, that turns harmony into chaos. Success into failure. Life into death. Mind into ignorance. Spirit into matter. Life into death. Truth into errors and mistake. And love into hate. Is that what we want in our consciousness? Do we really want hate and chaos and death and matter and all of these things that are the opposite of the seven terms for God? Mary Baker Eddy defines God on page 465, which is the recapitulation chapter 14, which is a summary of chapters 1 through 13. And she defines it as follows. God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. And in the glossary on page 578, she defines God as the great I Am, all knowing, all seeing, all acting, all wise, all loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love. All substance, intelligence. I already read the definition of good from that same page. We know what our duty is, to be the image and likeness of God. Follow in the footsteps of truth. Follow in the footsteps of Christ Jesus. In the footsteps of Mary Baker Eddy. The two most spiritual people that ever walked on this earth. Constantly barraged by hate and evil and attacks on their very existence. But they returned it with love. Not hate, but love. This prayer treatment will close by reading a very special prayer by Mary Baker Eddy that she gave to her top students in 1898. And yes, Dr. Fluno would have been in that class. She named the prayer, Diapason of Heaven. And she provided seven prayers, one for each of the seven synonymous terms. And right within the prayer, she suggests that we should repeat it often. Here is the prayer, Diapason of Heaven, with a focus on soul. We must hold soul in consciousness only as a sacred name for God. We have to rise above the belief that soul is an invisible personality residing in a fleshly form with a personal identity. Soul must be recognized as a name for God and a name by which God is to be worshipped. We have to take the interpretation of soul as a personality out of subjective thought and replace it with the true sense. We should declare often, there is only one soul, and that is my infinite, incorporeal, supreme God. Soul is my God, and my God is soul. Amen. It is Friday, July 17, 2026, at 16:07 on the 24-hour clock. The title to this prayer treatment is 1-7, God. Topic, vision, looking, and seeing, but what? The 1-7 indicates that we have covered each of the seven synonymous terms for God, of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. Thank you for listening. The end.